blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The Lord will bless and prosper those. Yea, blessed indeed are they whose ways are just, who constantly his righteous law obey. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 106. Psalm 106, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 106, the first 23 verses. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, that I may glory with Thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not Thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of Thy mercies, but provoked Him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they His words. They sang His praise. They soon forgat His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore He said that He would destroy them, had not Moses His chosen stood before Him in the breach, to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, and who can show forth all His praise? And yet we are called to do so, to bring it upon this pulpit, to utter Thy mighty acts. And then, Lord, we need and that our lips may be touched with the coal from Thine holy altar, that substance and that matter may be placed in our hearts, and that we may be able to bring it forth for the first time or by renewal. Oh, that thou may thyself visit us here in this day, when we are gathered round about thy holy word. For the heart of man, as we go upon our short journey, is born a heart dead in sins and in trespasses, and there is such a short time between the cradle and the grave that we do witness all about us. And when the callings are coming unto us from both young and old, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die. But Lord, we have no ears to hear, and we have no hearts to understand, and we have no eyes to see, we have no heart to believe. Oh, we need to be converted by thee, and thou hast all power given unto thee in heaven and in earth. And thy Spirit is sent forth both by the Father and the Son, for the purpose of the conversion of thy own elect from that never begun eternity. Oh, could it be also in this hour a special hour, because we are together round about thy word in thy holy house of prayer on thy holy day that is set aside by thee for that purpose. Oh, could it please thee then to come unto us and unto our children in the day in which we are living, wherein Satan goes about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, that thou may deliver us from his hand and from the bands wherein that we are bound by nature in trespasses and in sins and in the darkness of death. But Lord, thou hast risen from the dead, and thou hast delivered all thy people from the chains and the bondage of sin and from all its condemnation. Oh, that thou may so look upon us in this hour, that thou may deliver us for the first time, may it be by a true regeneration, by that powerful Spirit's work, to raise a man from his spiritual death and to give unto him to breathe after God again, to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, that he might be filled. Do look upon all the needy and all the cares that lie amongst us. Thou knowest where they are better than we can lay them before thee. Thou dost spare yet to this moment our brother elders. Thou bringest one amongst us. Humble us under thy goodness, and heal him yet further, that he may take up his labors also in due time. And remember also our brother that is at home, and thou knowest all of the suffering. Oh, could it please thee to relieve it, and that thou may yet visit him in his soul, and could it please thee to raise him up again, and that he also may come once again and do the labors that thou hast entrusted unto him in the midst of us, to be a blessing in the midst of us. Oh, that thou may so bless the labors of the hands of the consistory of parents, of teachers, to children and to adults alike. Oh, that thy Spirit may yet attend the labors of our hands, that there may be a working of thy Spirit and a raising up new ones in that life that is the life of Zion. Oh, that thou may remember also our denomination, to give more men in the ministry. May it be also more teachers to the schools. Remember our school here and in Calgary, and all the schools of our denomination, and all that labor for and in them. Also a hymn that does go from place to place in the Synodical Education Committee, that thou may help him also and bless the labors of his hands. Oh, that thou may remember all our parents. Give them courage, Lord. Give them grace in their hearts, in the times in which we live, when there can be so many discouragements, and so often then is felt what our weakness is against the prince of darkness. Oh, that thou wouldst put away the evil, that thou wouldst protect our children, and that thou wouldst give that the enemy may be cast out. Do look upon all the afflicted and the sick and the needy, all handicapped ones. Remember those that live their life alone, the widows, the unmarried, and all those that have cares and concerns that are borne upon their hearts, and that the inner chambers also may be filled, and that thou thyself may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may from thy throne humble thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And Lord, wilt thou help all those that bring thy word in this day, and that thou may give strength, that thou may give courage, and that thou may give thy blessing, help us to, Lord, in this hour. Do give us a little strength in our body, in our mind. Give us clarity in speaking. Give substance and matter in our heart. And thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 120 all the stanzas. Judge me, God of my salvation, plead my cause for thee, I trust. Hear my earnest supplication, save me from my foes unjust. All the stanzas of Psalter 120. beloved congregation. The Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. That is a revelation of what is living within the heart of God, and that God does give expression to, and that He makes manifest unto the sons of men. Is that not a wonder? It is a wonder that the Word of God is not very short, just expressing His wrath, His indignation, His judgment, and His condemnation against sin and against sinners. After all His great goodness in His blessed creation, it is a wonder that there is written in that word mercy. It is a wonder that there is written in that word grace that is living in His heart. Emmanuel, a God with us. Did that ever become a wonder in your own heart? But there is more written in God's word than only what lies in the heart of God. There is also what is lying in the heart of His own people. Was that ever a wonder to you? That you may find something that is written in that word that was also laying in your own heart? Because in that word of God, and especially in the book of the Psalms, that we read what is taking place in the heart of God's church, who are living under the influence of the special operations of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That is a work, the work of the Spirit, that does not change. And the fruit of that work is a fruit that does not take place only in our outward life, but it is a fruit that takes place in the first place within our heart. And thus can we find sometimes what is taking place in our own heart, and that is explained to us as it is revealed by the Spirit of the Lord, and that as it is written by David, by Solomon, by Moses, and others of old. Our text is in this afternoon to be found from that psalm that was read to you, Psalm 106. And there of the fourth and the fifth stanzas, 106, verses 4 and 5. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, and that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, and that I may glory with Thine inheritance. So far in the words of our text, an earnest supplication for the Lord's salvation. O visit me with Thy salvation. First, a holy jealousy. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people, a holy jealousy. And second, the desired portion. O visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, and that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, that I may glory with Thine inheritance, the desired portion, an earnest supplication for the Lord's salvation, a holy jealousy, and the desired portion. So we say first, a holy jealousy. Were you ever jealous? Were you ever jealous of the people in this world because there is so much jealousy in the world? Men who are discontent with the portion that we have in this world and would always like to have that portion that the Lord has given unto our neighbor, but you know what we do not know? When we open sometimes the doors of a house, and then we can find that there is so much in that house that we would not be jealous of. And maybe we look around sometimes in our affliction or in our poverty, and we look at those who have this and those who have that. And then we are jealous or we are envious at their portion. But we do not know the discontent that is living in their heart. We can read that Asaph was also envious at the foolish, we read, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, until he went into the house of the Lord, the sanctuary of God. And then he saw their end, and then he was not jealous of them anymore. We have to be careful, congregation. We have just read together. The children of Israel lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So how would it be if we got all our requests and there was leanness in our soul, there was emptiness in our soul, there was poverty in our soul, there was nothing in our soul, there was nothing but vanity in our soul? Oh, the psalmist realized this in Psalm 106, and he was also full of jealousy. But we say it was a holy jealousy. It was not a jealousy for the poor portion of this world, but it was a jealousy for what God's children may themselves have. Four times he mentions them. He calls them by these names, four names. He says, thy people, thy chosen, thy nation, and thine inheritance. The four names that he gives to those whom he is envious of. And what is common in those four names? Thy, thine. All that is what he is envious of. He says, these are thy people. These are the people that belong unto the Lord. Do you belong to the Lord? We used to belong to the Lord. Boys and girls, young people, who do you belong to? We used to belong to the Lord. We were created by the Lord. And the Lord made us for him. You make something, you make it for yourself. And then you expect that it serves you, and if it doesn't serve you, you throw it away, you get rid of it. And the Lord made us for him, that we would love him, that we would serve him. And we did love him, and we did serve him with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength. You ever think about that? When you get up in the morning, and when you are going to go about your day's work, and then all of your thoughts, where do they go to? Is it the service of this world? Do you ever think back of your purpose, why you were made in that very creation, and then what happened in our fall? Then we became the devils. Then we became the worlds, and our heart is there with sin. Our heart is there with the world. The world draws our heart. And we run after the world, or is it not so? Or do I tell a lie today? What is now living in our heart by nature? Our fathers have fallen into slavery. Oh, they did not realize it at the moment, and we do not realize it by nature either, do we? That we are actually in a slavery. Slavery to the devil and a slavery to the world, serving the world. But the psalmist came to realize it. He came to realize it. What a thing to realize. Did you ever realize that in your life? Did the Lord ever bring that into your heart, that your whole life, that is now so different than you are made, and that you are nothing but a servant of sin, nothing but a servant of Satan, and nothing but a servant of this world? Thy people, thy chosen, thy nation, thine inheritance. They are a people that are the Lord's. What a great change. There is no change like that. Not in the whole world. That is now the greatest change that can happen in our life. And the psalmist sees that as a blessing. He sees that as a very, very great blessing. And he is speaking with envy at those that may experience and that may possess this blessing. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Thus he sees a contrast. He sees a great contrast between himself and thy people. What do you think? Do you think he was a converted man? This psalmist, whoever that psalmist was. Oh, you say, yes, he was a converted man. But congregation, he does not speak that way, does he? No, he speaks here like just like one who is on the outside of it. Just like he is one that belongs to the world. Like he is one that is a servant of the devil. That is how he speaks. Oh, do you ever hear a man speak that way? Oh, then a man can, when the Lord is converting him, then he is becoming unconverted. He is becoming unconverted in his own eyes, in his own sight, with a holy jealousy of all those people of the Lord that are thine. Oh, he says, they are a happy people. And I am an unhappy man. They have everything. And I have nothing. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, could it be possible that I also may become one of thy people? That I also may be one of thy children, that thou would also be a God unto me. Remember me. Oh, how the Lord makes a man concerned about his own soul. Are you concerned about your own soul? Oh, how dead is a man. How awful is that not a thing to be living in this world and not even to be concerned about the need of our own soul as we travel that short journey to a great and never-ending eternity. Remember me, O Lord. And then you know what the devil says. The devil says, that is not of the Lord. The devil says, that is all of you. It's all about you. It's nothing but selfishness. The Lord will not hear you. You do not love him. You only love yourself. You are only concerned about yourself. Congregation, the devil is such a liar. It may very well be true that a man feels just that concern about himself, that he goes on his knees morning, afternoon, and evening, And he is laying there. He say, Lord, remember me. Remember me also, O Lord. And yet, oh, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. And it is not true that the Lord will not hear such a man. How many of those that the Lord Jesus cured, how many of them had now a concern for the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of them had the love of God living in their heart? We don't know that. But do you know where the Spirit of the Lord very typically begins? He begins with us. That is the Lord's work. Because when we go over this world by nature, we do not even have a concern about our own soul. We do not believe we have to die, even though everyone is dying around us. And we do not believe and are afraid that we have to stand before God. And now when the Spirit of the Lord comes, oh, then he is binding that upon us. Oh, then he is saying, oh, then he has died today and I have to die tomorrow. Oh, Lord, wilt thou also remember me? Remember me, oh, Lord. What does it mean to remember? That is that the Lord may think upon us. That it may come into the Lord's mind. Also me. Would that now be a wonder? You say, oh, if I also could come now into that mind of the Lord, if my soul and the need of my soul could come now into the thought of the Lord, would that not be a wonderful thing? If on high your name, oh, because the Lord, he is working in those whom he calls by name. Oh, if your name would come into that thought of God written in that book of God, and that the Lord on that high and mighty throne would now also begin to think of you. Oh, you say, if he would begin to think of me, what will now become of me? If he will begin to think of me, or if he will begin to look upon me, then indeed I become very, very afraid. Because my mother and my father do not know what I do. And my friends do not know what I do. And they do not know what is living in my heart. But I read in the book of Revelation that eyes of that Son of Man, they are like a flame of fire. Oh, they would penetrate into me. And oh, what would now become of me if I also now would come into the thought of God? Then it will only be wrath. It will only be indignation. Oh, the psalmist, he knows that too. He does not just say, oh Lord, remember me. He says, oh, remember me, oh Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Do you know what he recognizes? He recognizes that there are a people in the world that are not lying under the indignation of the Lord. There are people in the world that are lying under the favor of God. Under the favor of God. Oh, did you ever realize that? Did you ever recognize that just like the psalmist? When you look about you and you read in that holy word of God and you say, oh, thy people. Thy people, thy nation, thine inheritance, Lord, they are lying under the favor of the Lord. That does not mean that he knows how that they receive that favor. No, that can be very, very different. And that can be very, very hid from them. How it is that they lie under that, but the fact that there is a people And then that wrath of God is not lying on that people, but that favor of God. Ruth did not know how. No, not in the beginning. She did not know how and that that favor could be received. But do you know David? He says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor thou shalt compass him as with a shield," as with a shield. Do you know there are people that see that? And they so are so envious at that people because there is a shield. They see that. That is around that people. Oh, like David, there was a shield around him. So many enemies. But no one could touch David. Not Saul, not his greatest enemies. Oh, Ruth. Later on, she found out how. But in the beginning, that was hidden. And she only saw that it was true. She only saw that it was a people who did lay under that blessing of the Lord. And she says, that is what I miss. And that is now what I need. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. What is that salvation? That is deliverance. Thus, there is something. There is something from which the psalmist needs, that he wants to be delivered from. And what is that? Or he wants to be delivered from being apart, from God. Oh, he is jealous of those that are thine, of thy people, of thy nation, and of thine inheritance. Oh, they belong unto him, and I do not belong unto him, and I have no power to make myself and to bring myself into that blessed communion with him. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. That is a man. That is a man that is coming to an end. How does the Lord do that? Well, he often does that over a long time, to bring that man to an end. An end of his own wisdom. An end of his own righteousness. An end of his own strength. How do we know that? Because he is crying. He is crying for the salvation of the Lord. Do you ever do that? To cry for the salvation of the Lord? Oh, visit me with thy salvation, me also, Lord, because I cannot deliver myself. I cannot deliver myself from myself. And I cannot deliver myself from my sin. Oh, visit me. Oh, Lord, come near unto me. Think upon me. Oh, have a dealing with me. Approach unto me with thy salvation, that powerful, powerful salvation that is able to deliver me from being apart from thee. O congregation, do you believe that the Lord visits his people here upon the earth? David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" And the Lord Jesus came into this world, oh, just for a little while. And then he visited his people. You can read that. His people sang about that. And now he is that way, wherein God is able to visit his people once again. Oh, how hidden. How hidden that way can be. Is that hidden for you too? And yet there can be a crying for it. How is that possible that it is so hidden for us, and that we still can be crying out for that? Let us sing. Psalter 112, stanzas 2 and 3. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show. And what follows 2 and 3 of Psalter 112. The favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation, we say in earnest supplication for the Lord's salvation, a holy jealousy. But in our second thought, the desired portion, we read that I may see the good of thy chosen, and that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance, that I may see the good of thy chosen. How can a man perceive the greatness of the value of something which he has never seen? You say, well, maybe he has heard of it. That is right. There is a difference between hearing and seeing. Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. Seeing is more than hearing. But that does not mean that hearing is nothing. That does not mean that hearing ought to be despised, no. Because hearing very often goes before seeing. The Old Testament church has heard about the coming of Christ for 4,000 years before that they saw him. And what did that do for that Old Testament church? To hear of him, that was not insignificant. No, that made them to seek him, to long for him, to wait for him. The Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom and the might of Solomon, and then she wanted to see him. And she came, and she saw, and she said, the half was not told me. Seeing is more than hearing. That I may see the good of thy chosen. Oh, that is a man who is supplicating for something. Oh, he wants to be included. He wants to see with his eyes. He does not want to remain a stranger of the good of thy chosen, that I may see the good of thy chosen. What is that? The good of thy chosen. Oh, that is that salvation that he has besought the Lord for. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. That is now the good. The good of his chosen, that is the deliverance from sin, the deliverance from the separation, from being apart from God. Oh, what do we think about that? Do we think that that is also the good? Would you give up your business for that? Would you give up your business for that? Would you give up the most dear things that you have in this world for that? You say, that is now the good. You know, when the Lord converts a man, then he changes in his heart his opinion about what is good. What is good? And what is that thing that I ought to seek? What is that thing I ought to desire? What is that thing that is worth my time? What is that thing that is worth my effort? What is the good that can be obtained here below? And now the more a man fails to obtain it, with all his seeking, with all his striving, with all his efforts, the longer that he fails in his own strength to obtain that good, the more that he is valuing the salvation of the Lord. When he hears of it, when he hears of the Lord's salvation, oh, our proud hearts, they are not so ready to submit to a Savior. Our proud hearts want to do it ourselves. Oh, we do not believe that we are weak through the flesh. But the more that a man learns that he is weak through the flesh, and that he is not able to keep the least of all those commandments of God, but that he has sinned against every single one of them, oh, the more congregation, the more that he hears, then the longer that he goes, oh, that he hears of that salvation of the Lord, then he says, that is the good, oh, that is the good of the chosen of the Lord. Oh, then he says, that I may also see that good, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that becomes his supplication more and more as he is brought to an end of himself. And then what do we have? Then we have the Advent Church. The Advent Church. A church that is longing. A church that is sighing. A church that is crying for that salvation of the Lord, that favor that he bears unto his people, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Do you know what he realizes? He realizes that he has heard of it. He has heard of that good. He has not seen it. You ever realize that? So I've heard of it. I've heard of it, but I have not seen it. Oh, that is honesty. That is honesty with himself. How does he know he hasn't seen it? Well, he says, because I have never rejoiced in the gladness of thy nation. Oh, that rejoicing, that is a fruit of seeing. That rejoicing, that is a fruit of that faith that the Lord may give, when the Lord may include that people for a moment even. And it is now that rejoicing, all that is that affection that I am missing, that I am lacking. Oh, I am lacking the fruit of that faith that does not only hear, but I am lacking the fruit of that faith that sees, that sees. Or is there no faith in that hearing? There is not faith in all hearing. There is not faith in the hearing that is coming just in an outward way to us. Oh, there is not true faith in all that hear. But congregation, there is a faith in this people. A people whose ears have been opened, and they have not yet seen, but the Lord gives them to hear. And what is the fruit of that faith? The fruit of that faith that hears, that has not seen, but is now being emptied more and more, and that has to wait, and that is longing, and it has not seen, but that it hears. Oh, what is the fruit of that? The fruit of that is seeking. The fruit of that is longing. The fruit of that is waiting. Oh, there is hope in that. There is a certain hope in that. But that hope that is not specific, that is a hope that is general. A man does not seek without hope. Not possible. It's not possible. Because all our actions have a motive. and when there would be absolutely no hope, then the motive would not be there to seek. And so the Lord is giving these ears to hear as the Lord is stripping that people of their own strength, of everything from their own side. Oh, and the Lord is working in a general way, oh, a certain hope that they are laying there. That they are laying there at the feet of the Lord. Oh, evangelist spoke to Pilgrim about a gate he could not see. About a gate he could not see. And he pointed him to yonder shining light that he thought he saw. That he thought he saw. Yonder shining light, oh, something shining. Something shining in that holy word of God. Something that was drawing him. Oh, what is that? That was an Advent church. It was an Advent church. Oh, he was still before Christmas, wasn't he? Oh, he still had not seen, but he has heard of that way. It has been preached unto him in all of his need. Oh, and he is seeking and seeking and seeking. And now as soon as all his own efforts, they are all cut off at Mount Sinai. You've read it, right? They are all cut off at Mount Sinai. As soon as they are cut off, oh, then that preaching that is there again and that is pointing once again to the same place it was pointing before, always that same place, but there is not always room to receive it. And it is pointing to that same place as it did before. And then the Lord opens it. Oh, then the Lord opens it. And then the Lord reveals unto him his only begotten Son. And oh, then he sees. Then he sees the gate congregation. Oh, was not that the greatest wonder in the life of that man? And when he is coming through that gate, then what do we read? He says, I rejoice and I tremble. There you have it. Bunyan took it all from the Bible, didn't he? He took it all from the Bible. Oh, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. And that is what that man may do there, when it may become Christmas in his soul. And when he may not only hear it, but when for the first time in his whole life, or he may receive an eye of faith to behold that child. Oh, did you ever say, congregation, in your heart, Christ, oh, that is now who God's people love. God's people love him, and I do not know him. Oh, did that ever place you on the outside? That you say, oh, I have never seen him and I have never rejoiced like God's people. They may rejoice when they see him. Oh, they love him. How is it possible that they speak of him like they do? And that there is in their heart something that goes out after him in love. And I don't feel that. And that means that I am on the outside of it. Oh, then you hear with your ears. Oh, then the heart can be given a longing that says, Lord, that I may so also rejoice. Do you know when Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac? Then you read that he took gifts with him. Gifts. And then he is speaking to Rebekah about Isaac. And he is giving to Rebekah gifts. But that wasn't Isaac yet, was it? She didn't see him yet in his person. No, but she receives gifts from him. And now the church, they may receive gifts from him, and they may hear of him, and they may begin to long for him when they have never seen him. And they are asking the Lord, oh, that it may become Christmas also for me. Thus the Lord is drawing. He is drawing his people to himself, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. What does that mean, to glory? It means to boast. To boast. You ever boast, boys and girls? Never boast. Never boast. The world is full of boasting. And what is that? All that is just for our own honor, right? For our own glory, that other people would think something of us, maybe more of us than we actually are. But you know David, he says, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever and ever. Oh, David. David sought to give God the honor. Oh, that is where it all belongs, not to us. Do you ever feel that? That now the psalmist, he says, now that I may glory with thine inheritance. He wants to boast of the Lord. Oh, he says, I cannot do that. That is what I was created to do. That is what God's people do. And I am so, I can do it with my mouth, but I cannot do it with my heart. Oh, and I want to sing like they sing, with all my heart and all my strength and with all my soul, oh, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Is that not what the shepherds did? When they saw him, not only when they heard of him, no, but when they saw him and when they came to that manger and then they went away from that manger and they returned glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Is that not what Anna did? When she saw him and she spoke of him to all them that look for redemption in Israel. Oh, that I may glory, that I may boast to all the world of thy strength and of thy salvation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. O congregation, is there now an Advent people in our midst? That do sigh, that do cry also here with the psalmist, remember me, O Lord, with that salvation that thou bearest unto thy people, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O, visit me with thy salvation. You say it is true. Pliable, he was convinced to come along. He was just convinced. That was not true with him. That is right, but it didn't last long, did it? Oh, a few discouragements and he was gone. Was Christian discouraged? Oh, yes, he was. You discouraged too? You discouraged too? He fell in that slough. All kinds of despondency. Shall it ever be? And shall it ever be? Is it possible for such a man so like I am? Because there is no one in the church and no one in the world that knows what my life is, and there is no one that knows what my heart is. Oh, then he also fell into that slough of despond. But now that struggle, they both fell. But the struggle was in the opposite direction. Pliable to the side closest to his own house. And a few little efforts and he is out. And Christian doesn't know how wide that slough is. He doesn't know how long that's going to take. He could be in that slough for a long time. It's all unknown to him. But one thing is sure. There is death behind me, and I cannot go back. And thus struggling to that side that is furthest away from his own house, and that is closest unto that gate. You know what Thomas Scott says? Listen. Thomas Scott, he says that of this. He says there are persons under deep distress of conscience that are afraid of relief, lest it prove delusive. Are you afraid of relief? Lest it prove delusive. You say, I do not just want the wound to be covered over. I am afraid of that. If that wound is not cured, afraid of relief. Oh, congregation, when that person, that beloved person of the Son of God, the beloved of God, when he is born, you desire that, you look for that, you ask for that, when he is born in your soul, you will know it. You will know it. You will say it with John. It was the 10th hour. Because, you say, how will I know it? Because your soul, that will rejoice in the gladness of his nation. Of his nation. Of his people. And of his inheritance. I rejoice and tremble. Oh yes, you will also tremble. You will tremble by times for the lack of certainty, for the lack of assurance, and yet you will know, you will have experienced something of the gladness of the nation of God. Oh, the Lord encourage you in your waiting. The Lord help you in all your supplications. Lay at his footstool. Oh, stay there, congregation, and do not let him go. Do not let him go until he bless you. Oh, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest where and that Advent people sit. Here, maybe they are in their own homes where'er they do listen. And Lord, we cannot give that longing to anyone, and we cannot fulfill that longing, but that longing is thy own work. And if thou dost give it in our heart, then thou will also fulfill it in thy time. Oh, that thou may give that holy patience, but give also that holy wrestling, that wrestling at that throne of grace as Jacob did wrestle. And then he did receive from thee his desire. Look upon us in this, in the rest of this day. Wilt thou give thy word and all that is based thereon, and when we may read it and hear it, and to be a blessing for our souls, and that we may have a need for our own souls, worked by thy Spirit in our hearts. Remember us in the week to come. Watch over and protect each one of us from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Wilt thou keep us from all sin and evil, danger and harm, be with us when we hope to gather for our Christmas program. Remember us in the week to come also, when we hope to serve our branch in Calgary and thy servant hopes to be here. Remember the elder that many labors do lie upon at this time. Do help him and supply for us and grant us a blessing undeserved for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 446, stanzas 3 and 4. I wait for God to hide me. My soul with longing stirred shall hope, whate'er betide me, in his unfailing word. My soul waits for Jehovah with more intense desire than watchers for the morning to dawn of day aspire. 3 and 4 of 446. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.